You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey Ryan, how are you today?
Pam, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Hey, do you ever feel like we're a broken record?
I bet some of our listeners feel like we're a broken record, but maybe I could see how that would be a description.
You know, I think oftentimes we talk about exercising, communicating, advocating, you know, all those things over and over and over. And sometimes I feel like we are a broken record, but those things are so important in, you know, for caregivers, for survivors, you know, it's important to do all those things, but sometimes we have to get motivated.
Yeah, they are very important, Pam. There's no question. I always kind of think back, what is it? It takes seven times of hearing something before you make a change, or seven positive things before you break a bad habit, or all, whatever those sayings are. And I think that just reinforces that repetition is good, maybe, right?
Yes. You know, we only comprehend 10% of what we listen. So we got to make sure we give them the best 10%, right?
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and Pam, I tell you, today's episode might seem repetitive, might seem, I'm trying to think of all these other words I can use to kind of give a hint to where we're headed. But I tell you, you guys are going to take away a lot from today's episode. I'm super excited. It's kind of funny. We always talk about how we come across guests and how we find someone. And I just apologize to our guest for stalking her on Instagram. And so thankfully, with the power of social media, we actually have a great guest today. Lachey Roll is a pre-doctoral fellow student in prevention science and community health in the Department of Public Health Sciences at the University of Miami. Pam, she's also a breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. She has a very unique experience as both a survivor and a cancer researcher that's allowed her to conduct research within the space that she's already in, Pam. That's what's really cool. But the unique thing is that throughout her research, she's aimed to understand if continuing to participate. Now, she has elite level that she works in, elite level strength training. How would that work? Would it be positive or negatively affect her chemotherapy treatment outcomes, as well as her physical and mental well-being? Lachey, thank you for accepting my friend request on Instagram and joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for finding me and telling me about all the nice things that you're doing. I really was very happy to hear that there was something like this. The thing is, what I find about cancer and going through all this stuff is there's resources out there, but you know, at the time, patients don't really know about a lot of it. And I'm just grateful that you have something like this, because I'm going to be sharing it with all my people who are in Texas or around in, you know, the neighboring states.
Awesome. We always talk about, Pam, you know, when someone says, gosh, I didn't know about you. And we say, you don't need to know about us until you need to know about us. And we're so glad that folks know about us. And so, yes, we love people sharing about what we do and about all the programs and activities we provide. But let's just kind of start at the beginning. You know, I just in your bio talked about how you're in public health, and you're at the University of Miami, and you're doing research, and you're a breast cancer survivor. So let's talk about how did all of that play out?
Yeah, so I was smack in the middle of my PhD. It was year two, and I felt a lump. And so what I did next was I got it checked out and got sent to do an ultrasound mammogram, and turns out it was cancer. And so I was already studying cancer prevention research and focused on diet and exercise. And so I do kind of credit that to me finding my breast cancer at age 26, because I knew what were the signs, because I was a prevention scientist in training at the time. And yeah, I knew that exercise and diet would really help me throughout the process, after the process, because That's what I live and breathe. And that's what I literally am preaching to tons of cancer survivors every day. And it's funny because a group of the cancer survivors who I worked with, we were working towards doing a 5K. They were the ones who ended up motivating me a lot because I let them know, hey, I was diagnosed. And they were like, what? And then they just gave me all of the tips because breast cancer is one of the most common cancers. So about half of the participants were breast cancer survivors. And they told me, this is what the mastectomy is going to be like. This is what this process is going to be like. So it's funny how we all can help each other. But yeah, that's what I did. And during my cancer treatment, about 2 weeks after I got diagnosed, I rode my bike. I did 13 miles of my bike. And then I continued to power lift. And I did it all throughout each stage of treatment, surgery, chemo, radiation, and still lifting now. And I started to fall in love with cycling. So I will be doing your amazing event.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So, Shay, you got diagnosed with cancer at the age of 26. Mm-hmm. What were you doing? How were you staying active prior to this? And how did that change after the diagnosis?
So I was powerlifting. I mean, hardcore. I'm talking doing competitions. My last competition was about 2 weeks to a month, somewhere up in there, very recent, before my diagnosis. I lifted 440 pounds for squat. Then I did 292 on bench and 496 deadlift. So I'm talking very up on the echelon, like elite level, like Ryan said.
Yeah.
Right.
And so then you were diagnosed.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks later.
And let me guess, one of the many things you probably thought, this is going to affect my ability to continue to do what you're doing at your elite level.
I truly did think that while I work with cancer survivors and I help them get back into working out, et cetera, I knew I could work out. But the thing I didn't know was to what level and how this would impact me, you know, as a whole. And after, I think during chemotherapy, before I realized that I was able to lift, I was very concerned and very scared, especially I'd say it was between the mastectomy and the chemotherapy, but the mastectomy in particular was really concerning for bench press for me. I was like, wow, I'm going to have something removed right in that area. And, you know, one of my tumors was 2 centimeters away from my, posterior, my chest muscle. So,
yeah.
So where did you go to get guidance on what you could and couldn't do? Because, you know, a lot of patients come here and they're like, well, I'm going through chemotherapy. I probably shouldn't work out. Or, you know, is there something that physicians should be encouraging patients to do, educating them?
Well, I mean, I just built the program myself from scratch because As I said, I'm trained in this area and this is something I do. And I have a very hyper specific program with powerlifting. It's going to be hard if we're making programs right now just for at the beginner level or, you know, people like that to engage in cancer treatment. I bet we're years away from someone making a tailored powerlifting program for cancer survivors. So I had to make it myself from scratch and just kind of, you know, tailor it around what I'd been doing. But what I'd say in regard to physicians, I would say all physicians, you know, should probably work with patients and encourage them to work out and try to show them the benefits because, you know, people want to know why should I do anything in life, not just working out. So I think sharing the potential benefits of working out would be very great for helping people, you know, just move. I think any and all movement really helps. And you see a lot of that with the UK Biobank studies that are coming out, where you see that even low intensity physical activity has some benefits. So I think just encouraging people to move and do small things can go a long way.
But you know how that feels once you have chemotherapy, you feel like you don't want to move. How did you stay motivated to continue to move?
I mean, so what I did during chemotherapy was I kind of basically made my program around chemo. So the thing what most people and what I felt was in the first day or two, maybe 2 to 3 days up in there, that's when you feel the majority of the side effects. So right when we hit that end point where we start to get the side effects to decrease, that's when I would jump in and I would start working out. And then I would do progressive overload. So basically I would keep that intensity going all the way up until right before my next chemo cycle.
Wow. Wow. It served as a motivator for you, but it also sounds like it was maybe a reward for when you started to feel better, you were back doing what you love. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yes, yeah, very fair, because the goal on one of the biggest reasons why I continued to do the exact same workouts was because I was like, I'm normal. That was my sense of normalcy. That's a normal thing for me to do, is go to the gym and lift over 400 pounds. I'm talking, I lifted 408 pounds the day before my last chemo, less than 24 hours. So realistically, my training plan barely changed.
Wow. Wow. So let's be clear, Pam, 400 plus pounds. That's a lot.
Yes. During chemo.
During chemo. And you guys listening, you're probably going, I'm fixing to turn this off because there's no way Ryan and Pam are going to get me to lift 400 pounds. That's ultimately not where we're headed, right, Lachey?
No. I am a very specific case, and that's why we published a case study. So I authored that. I was the first author on that. I wrote that up, and that was because I want there to be some sort of a base. So if we use the RPE scale, that's my RPE 7. That's my RPE 8 and 9. So for somebody else, if you're listening, maybe just 50 pounds, that might be your RPE 7 to 8. So it's all going to be tailored. You can plug it in and put whatever it is that you are able to do. But just moving your body is the whole goal. This is my normalcy. Your normalcy might be something
else. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point to say, because this is what you did before chemo. It's not like you decided, I got breast cancer, I got to get in shape, I'm going to start lifting, and tomorrow you're lifting 100 pounds, and then the next day you're doing 200. It's not the case. And for our listeners that are going, what's RPE? So that's the rate of perceived exertion, correct? That is how they feel when they're exercising.
Yes. So that's on a scale of 1 to 10, or some people do 1 to 20, where 10 would be 10 or 20, depending on the scale, would be your highest level. Like, you can't do any more reps. You can't do any more at all. And then 1 would be easy. You could keep going all day. It's, you know, a little walk and not a jog or a run where you're out of breath about to say, oh, no, I need to stop. And so that's what I would do.
So let's talk about this research that you did. Tell us about the research and the findings of the research.
Yeah, so basically all I did was, because I am a researcher myself, I do analyze data. I analyze my own data. I collected it very rigorously. So just like we would do for any studies in my lab, I basically just collected my data and tracked and see like if I was able to maintain my strength. And I was able to hold on to a range from 87 to 93% of my strength. So essentially almost all of my strength during chemotherapy. And that pre was before my cancer diagnosis, right before at a powerlifting meet. So what I wanted to do was track my side effects and my strength. And so I also found that my side effects lessened throughout chemotherapy. And I, you know, anecdotally, because you would need more patients to actually, you know, say this is credible, but I had less symptoms and side effects. Again, that's all perceived. That's something I self-rated. But some are, you can see like the rash and all that. And some are like the GI stuff, like you can sort of, you know, can't fake or make that. Like either you have it or you don't. And I noticed it went down. And so it was just me sharing my overall experience from a clinical aspect, as well as a strength and exercise physiology kind of aspect.
You know, I think what's unique here is you talked about how early on, you talked about how you had your group of survivors that were like mentors to you, and they're telling you their experience. Mm-hmm. And now in this study, you're reflecting your experience. Mm-hmm. And what I think is really unique about it is it proves that being active at some level and also in a community of folks, like with your mentors and your groups and your people, there's just tremendous benefit that it's really hard to quantify. You know, like you said, it's not all you either do or you don't. A lot of it is how you self feel, but there's really tremendous benefit to it.
Yes. Yes, there is. What you're speaking about now is social support, and it's been so proven that you need it, and it's very vital to your success throughout treatment. So regardless of diet and exercise, et cetera, social support is so important. And community, I think, is just, it can't be compared to anything else, especially for someone like me who's an AYA, that's adolescent and young adult. And so that's somebody diagnosed between the ages of 15 and 39, me being 26, I was an AYA. Still an AYA, you'll be always be an AYA. But so for me, we didn't have that kind of connection because it's a small number of people who are diagnosed at such a young age. So it's hard to find your community. And so it was very important to have them there. And, you know, they told me that I used to be the person cheering them on their support. So they had to chip in and all just be there for me. And they're my family now, honestly.
That's so awesome. So, you know, oftentimes patients get diagnosed with cancer and they feel like they lose control. They don't have control over, you know, the things that are happening. Did you feel like exercising gave you a sense of control and helped with your mental health?
100%. You hit it on the head. Like, that's a lot of what exercise did for me. And I truly resonate with the loss of control. Especially when I lost my hair, it was like you're losing so much stuff. Like, I'm losing a part of my body because the mastectomy, they had to remove a lot of my breast tissue because I had just a lot of cancer that was, you know, getting to spread. And yeah, I lost my hair, my ability to just do a lot of things. My schedule, I didn't have control over my schedule. I had to keep going to the doctor sometimes multiple visits a day, and it was like cancer controlled my whole life. But the one thing I could control was that I was going to go to the gym, and I was going to work out, and for that hour or two it was going to be like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Keeping a routine, right? I mean, that's a huge piece, keeping that routine and keeping you going. I think it probably helped too, and I'll let you answer this, that this was a passion of yours prior to having cancer. It was, like you said, it was normal, but also was it motivating because you were like, I don't want to lose, you know, this ability. I want to stay close to being able to do what I've been doing and all of that. Or was it just, as you said, it's just what you knew?
This is what I knew. Like, I think it was already a part of my routine. I was still able to do it. And, you know, like they say, if you don't move it, you'll lose it. So I wanted to maintain that. And then also, I think the biggest thing for me is because of my research, my area of expertise, I knew it would help me. Like, I believe what I preach. What I preach, I believe. So, you know, I knew it was going to really help me. And so that was one of the biggest things for me.
Lashay, I mean, I know we talked before we started this, and we talked to you about us having this beautiful gym, having all these exercise classes. What would you say to our listeners that are newly diagnosed or have never worked out? What would you tell them how to get started?
I would say to get with a nice program like what Ryan and Pam have, or, you know, get a personal trainer, see a physical therapist, because what I think is that working out now, you can gain benefits before you start any systemic treatment. That's going to be your form of prehab. You know how you have a battle and people prepare for that battle? You're going to be in for a battle. And I think that even small things, it can help a lot. People who have the most to gain can get the most gains in the shortest amount of time. Someone like me, if I were to start lifting and, you know, because I am already lifting, I'm only going to increase my PR by maybe a pound or something in 10 weeks. But you'll increase it by like 50 to 100 pounds because you have more room to grow. So don't be discouraged. Just start small and get with somebody who's trained, like a personal trainer, physical therapist, just somebody who can help you. And, you know, just get going and do what you can do, because like I said, any little thing can help, and it goes a long way.
So you're not saying I need to go to the gym and lift 400 pounds right away?
Oh, no, that's actually dangerous. I would advise against that, unless you're a strength trainer. Yeah. Somebody's like,
Pam, I want to be there. I want to be there to watch you lift 400 pounds.
I want to be there too.
It would take both of us to try to get 200 pounds lifted. I'm telling you.
For sure.
You know, Lachey, I think you touched on this, but I want to kind of come back to it a little bit and maybe talk a little bit more. You talked about how you listened to your body, and you talked about how you knew on so many days after your chemo infusion, you were going to have some bad days, or it was potentially going to be a bad day. And so how did you plan that when you're exercising? Because, you know, what we tell folks, and I think it's a fair statement, I'll let you decide if it's a fair statement, is, you know, do what you can as you feel up to it. And even on your bad days, maybe it's you spend 5 minutes on the treadmill and that's a win. And that's kind of what we've been preaching, because we want people to just be as active as they can as they feel up to it. What would you think about that?
I would say that's great advice. That's exactly what I did. I mean, realistically, so how I came up with that 5-6 day mark was, for the first round, there was no baseline. There was no blueprint. There was no nothing. I was just going off of feel. Do I feel completely terrible? Like, this would be a mistake for me to go out and work out? X, this is not the day to try this. Wake up and I'm like, okay, I kind of feel a little better. Should I work out today? We're not there yet. Wait until I feel at least 75 to 80% to do a little something. I'm just going on the treadmill at a slow pace. And then day 5-6, I can go back into the gym and lift a lot of weight and then slowly increase. So it was just based off of how I felt and my readiness. So what I had was like a readiness scale, just, you know, in my head. This wasn't in the paper, but I just, you know, try to feel, was I ready to go? And so, again, it was all based off of that RPE, the rate of perceived exertion. So it's based a lot upon like how you feel. But after a while, I looked at the trends. I found that though, like after at least a week, by a week, you should be good to go. Like for me, if you are a carbon copy of me, that's when I noticed that I was able to start getting back into things.
You know, Pam, what I'm getting from Lachey is she's so in tuned to her body, in tuned. And I think that's an incredible skill. I hope that's something that our listeners can take to heart and really pay attention to, just like that, because it's easy, Lachey, right? And we've seen it. We've talked to folks. It's easy to go, I'm going through cancer. I don't feel like it. I'm just not. And sometimes I get that sense when I tour someone around and show them the gym and they're like, oh, there's no way, you're not catching me in here. And I think it's important to be, as you are, so in tune to your body to know, as you said, nope, today's not the day. Oh, mm-hmm. tomorrow will be the day. And tomorrow maybe is, maybe not. But to be that so self in tune with your body, I think is very key.
Yeah. And the thing is, again, I think that's a cancer thing. I think that when you have to look out for, am I having a bad side effect? Do I have an infection? Do I have this and that? I'm already just very hyper aware of what's going on. Because again, they tell you to, if you have a fever of, you know, if you have like a minor fever, just come in. If you have this and that. So like, I'm not ignoring my body again, because my body, I had cancer and I had no clue. So that's the thing. I think that cancer survivors just generally, we become more hyper aware of what's going on in our bodies, because it's like, wait, I'm not going to miss something, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Ryan, the beauty about our facility is that, you know, we have all these exercise classes and we preach about, you know, we meet you where you're at. You know, we're not going to make you lift the 400 pound weights. We're not going to make you run on the treadmill, but maybe you can walk, or maybe it's this exercise or that exercise. But, you know, I know firsthand that I see patients that come in and they are at the bottom, can't do anything, very sedentary, you know, and they feel like they can't do it. and then they slowly start coming and you see their confidence building. And so it's not just building their muscles, but it's confidence, it's mental. Exercise can do so much more than we realize.
It is. It is. And the unique thing, and I wish all of our listeners, because I know we have some listeners outside of Amarillo, could see our facility. And we're not turning you loose into our facility just to go in there and have fun and come check in and check out and just do everything yourself. You know, Lachey, as you said, get with a personal trainer. We have a personal trainer on staff. Anytime the gym is open, Olivia is there. She's our gym manager. Every time it's open, she's there. In fact, the very first time you come to our gym, she's going to walk you through and show you how you even to do everything. Turn on the treadmills. You know, you're going to laugh when I say this, but she's going to tell you how to find solitaire on the screen. She's going to show you how you can connect and watch Netflix on your phone, you know, play your Spotify. She's going to walk you through all the things because we want it to be as enjoyable and as beneficial the time that you're there. You're spending that time. And I think I couldn't echo that enough, Lachey, when you said getting with someone makes a difference. And Pam, you're right. And you know what I see too? I see a lot of community going on in there and folks are going, oh, where's so-and-so? I haven't seen her. Let's check on her. You know, those kinds of things. So you have that built-in community and it's very unique. The other thing too, Lachey, that we talk about at our gym, that our gym manager talks about, is functional fitness. And now we have weights, we have free weights, we have barbells, we have all the things that would resemble what you do. But most of what she preaches is that functional fitness, and then they progress as they're able to do that. And the unique thing, Pam, Lachey, we talked about this a second ago too, and our listeners, I just want to echo, it's one of those things we say all the time, as we are a broken record sometimes. Yeah. It's entirely free. It is entirely free. Our group wellness classes, our gym, all of those things are free. So what we're trying to do is break down any barriers, you know, that you may have, like, I can't afford a gym management or a gym membership. You know, cancer's expensive and we get it. That's why ours is free.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Lachey, is there anything that you would like to tell our listeners about the research that we haven't covered?
What I would like to touch on that you did mention briefly, but I want to continue on with the point, is you spoke about functional fitness. And that's a lot of what I did on top of the powerlifting. So yeah, I would post me squatting all the weight and doing whatever. But when I finished doing that, what I did was a lot of the functional work. And so what that is, are things that are applicable to daily living. And that's what you need to focus on. Like squatting, not squatting a lot of weight. You just need to be able to what? Sit down on the couch, sit down in the toilet. Small things that are very vital for your life. Just getting up and doing a press. That's me grabbing something to go and cook from the cabinet, doing this and that. So I really think that's important as we all age, because everyone's aging every day. And as we get through a cancer treatment, because we have to get that independence back, because while you may not have independence at the time, or you might lose some of your independence, maintaining that post-cancer is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, listen, before we get to our last segment, and I want to give you the opportunity to tell folks where they can find you on Instagram, and where they can find you, because it is inspirational. And I don't mean that lightly. You're real and you're raw. You're very inspirational. And I think there's a lot that folks can take from it. I mean, listen, you guys, one of the very first reels I saw on Instagram, I'm old, I'm not on TikTok. I'm sure you're on TikTok too, but I saw it on reels on Instagram. But I'm telling you, you'll know what I'm talking about when I tell you, you were sitting at the, I think it was at the bench press, and you were talking about how you'll notice in my shirt, one side is flatter than the other side. And that's because I've had a mastectomy. You said I've got spacers there that are expanding and I'm still able to do this. And that's the video I sent to Pam. And I said, we got to get her on, because it's real, it's raw, it's natural, it's out there and it's inspiring. So I want to give you the opportunity to tell folks where they can find you to get that inspiration as well.
You can find me at Strong After Cancer. So not stronger. A lot of people think it's stronger, but strong after cancer. Because I believe the second that you're diagnosed, you're already strong after cancer because you went through something so, you know, emotionally packed and just intense. You went through all that. And some people are at the end of their journey and they went through chemotherapy, radiation, all that. And you're strong. So you can do anything.
That's right.
Okay. So that's on Instagram and Facebook?
Instagram and TikTok. Facebook, okay. I think, on Facebook. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I know the older generation likes the Facebook. So that's us.
You know, guess what? It's a blessing to get to your age. So I hope I could make it to y'all age.
I love that. That brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you would like to share with our listeners?
What was really an Auto Inc. inspiring moment for me was when I did the annual Dolphin Cancer Challenge at my cancer center. And 2 months after I finished all the treatment, I'm talking the chemo, radiation, surgery, I rode 39 miles for cancer research. And it was so inspiring. Like, it was like full circle.
Yeah. So we do not have any excuses.
Yeah. And that's a big event. That is a big, big event.
Okay. You know about it.
I do know about that. I do know about that. And it is a very, very big event. Raises a lot of money for cancer research there at the University of Miami. Of course, it's centered with the Dolphins, which always helps too, right? All those folks there. Absolutely. That is very inspiring. And I tell you too, Lachey, we see it at our event at 24 Hours in the Canyon with folks that, Pam, you know, we've talked to before that are, I can remember a friend of mine who doesn't ride bikes much anymore, but she did, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer from Lubbock and, you know, completed a treatment like earlier in the week. Had an infusion earlier in the week and was there on Saturday to ride. And the first thing I went up to her, I'm like, does your doctor know you are here?
They don't know. You just got to do it. Don't tell them.
And that was kind of the gist of what I got from her. She was like, he'll be fine with it.
Yeah, don't worry about them.
Yeah. But listen, in all seriousness, we've talked about this and you mentioned it. And you guys that are listening, we're going to do our best to get Lachey out to 24 Hours in the Canyon this year. So you be looking for more of an email from me later in the year, first of next year, with a code to get registered. And we're going to get you taken care of and get you set up and get you out here and let you be an inspiration even more so out here in Texas doing 24 Hours in the Canyon. So we're excited that you're excited. And I saw when I started seeing you riding bikes and said you're starting to really love riding bikes, I was like, it'd be awesome to have her out here.
Oh, yeah. It's exciting. And the thing is, I love riding bikes. I don't know why. It's just like you can clear your head and it's good. It's good overall for your health too.
Yeah. See, I keep telling
you. Ryan, what's the record? What's the record? Because I know she's probably one that needs to know that ahead of time.
Yeah. So the record on the road is like 419 miles in 24 hours.
Wow.
We can be there to cheer you on.
You know what's crazy? I already know somebody else who would love to do it. He's a lymphoma survivor. I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
70.3 half Ironman. And it hasn't even been a year since he completed chemo.
Oh yeah.
He's another one of us.
Another one. How inspirational is that? Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, Lachey, for joining us. Thank you for your realness and your rawness. And you're willing to step out and share your story, but also be an inspiration for folks. You know, again, it's funny when Pam and I talked about you, I was like, but she's a power lifter. And I'm like, this is crazy, but it is so inspirational to see what you're doing. And I think you're using your platform, you know, you're doing that proverbial lemons to lemonade. So thank you for what you're doing.
Yes. Thank you for what y'all are doing too. It's helping a lot of people. It's incredible. I love people like you guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We love doing it. I tell you, it's been a blessing to do this podcast as long as we have. And I say it every time, Pam. I love talking with folks because we learn so much. It's a lot of fun.
We do. And we bring, you know, research to them. We bring them things to think about. And we always bring them homework. You know, I encourage everybody out there, you know, if you haven't been to our gym or haven't participated in a class, now's the time. You know, come and get your bingo card. You might win something. You know, can do the different classes to get that bingo. If you haven't met with Olivia, make sure that you reach out. And then if you need our calendar, make sure you call us at 806-331-2400. We'll be happy to share that with you.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we recognize, too, that there's people that listen to our podcast that are not in Amarillo. And we do encourage you to take what Lachey has shared to heart. Find a gym. You know, if you're, I think it's, and I'm going to just shoot this from the hip, but I think it's, if you're over 50, you can get like a Silver Sneakers membership at certain places, and it's through Medicare or somewhere in there. I don't know all the specifics. Google Silver Sneakers, just because I know that that's been a topic before that's been brought up here at our center, that people are able to give up their membership elsewhere because of what we have here. So again, just Silver Sneakers, Google that, look it up, check it out. But yeah, find a way to get plugged in no matter what. But listen to your body, stay in tune, use your rate of perceived effort, because that's the key. And then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.